Wow. Jono was better than that, and he's come back not as quite as good as just it sounded. But Jono and Katie, we love them, and thank you for the privilege. Thank you, Pastor Matt, for that, your very kind words, and it's a privilege to be here in Tasmania. Hobart. It's a privilege to be anywhere but Perth. But really, really want to say thank you for your hospitality. Thank you to Pastors Dave and Alex for your kind invitation and this whole state executive for including us. Thank you so much, every one of you. And I'd just love to pray before we start. Is that all right? Yeah. We'll get into this. Father, we're so grateful. Just want to start by saying thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your favor. Thank you for your grace towards every person in this room. God, no one is here by chance, coincidence, or happenstance, but God, you knew before the foundations of the world that this night would be a night, the start of this Generate conference, and who would be here in this moment. And Father, I pray every heart would be wide open and your word would be life-giving seed. It would not just entertain, but it would bear fruit. It would change us from the inside out. I thank you, God, that in your presence, all things are possible. God, I thank you. You're stirring things. I pray for those that are tired and weary, you'd strengthen them. Those that are confused and lost, you would direct them. Those who are feeling the fog of this season, you would clarify things in this moment. Father, for those you're speaking to join AC, for those you're speaking to serve in different capacities, God, make your word clear. As they hear my voice, let them really hear your word. And as they hear my words, let each one hear your voice in such a personal, powerful way. Father, I thank you that as we lay a foundation for what you want to do over the next few days, our faith is high. Lord, we thank you that complacency would die and there would be a hunger and an expectancy, God, that you who have begun a good work will complete it. And these next few days are part of your plan to take each person further, to take this great city and state further. And Father, we thank you, God, that you will get all the honor. You will get all the praise. You will get all the glory. In Jesus' matchless mighty name we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. Fantastic. Hug two people if you want. Or COVID, bump them, whatever. And then you may take your seats. For those of you I've never met before and you're trying to look at my skin color and my accent and work out where I'm from and what I'm doing here, I was born in Singapore, grew up in Malaysia, Indian ethnicity, Australian citizen for the last 35 years. So I've got issues. I'm not sure what I am, too Aussie to be Asian, too Asian to be Aussie. And just when things couldn't get more complicated, I got married. That wasn't the complication. The person I married is half Aussie, half Kiwi. Grew up in the Philippines, sounds like an American. So identity issues, married identity issues. Jemima is a remarkable woman. It gives me credibility. She's studied far more than I have, which is evident. And yet, when I didn't know what culture I was and she didn't know what culture she was, I lived in the West but came from the East. She lived in the East but came from the West. And we married. Don't ask us what our two sons are. Their names are Zeke and Caleb. I think I've got a picture of them up there somewhere. I'm not sure if we do. There they are. 9 and 12. And yeah, so that's our family. That's by way of introduction. I am really privileged to lay a foundation for what I believe God's going to do in the next few days. And I'm going to give you the chance to guess what I'm speaking on. I'm going to read some verses from the Bible. Psalm chapter 100, verse 4 and 5. I think we've got it on the screen so you can follow. Here's what we're going to do. Because you Tassie guys are so intelligent, I'm going to get you to yell the yellow parts when we get to it. See if we can do that. Ready? Enter into his gates with
thanksgiving.
Mate, you're way smarter than Victorians. And into his courts with praise. Be
thankful
to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Amazing. Great verse. Here's another one. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. One more verse, and this is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Here we go. There's a few words here. Let's try this.
In everything,
for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Any clues as to what I may be speaking about tonight? You know, before you think I've heard all I need to hear about being thankful, imagine what our world would look like if everybody was just a little bit more thankful, where Thanksgiving wasn't just a date on the American calendar, but a culture of the people that called Jesus Lord. Imagine if we weren't always whinging about what God hasn't done, but what he has done. You know, according to multiple research sources, being grateful or even being thankful has many benefits. And here's some of them. Better physical health. Forget the gym. Just be thankful. Better sleep. Better mental health. We need that today. Enhances empathy. Reduces aggression. Healthier self-esteem. Improved psychological health. Without a pill or a prescription, your whole world could shift just if we all learn to become more thankful. In fact, it's like forgiveness in the sense that it actually helps us out more than it helps the recipient of whoever we say thank you to. I grew up and I thought, because I grew up in a very sort of godly sort of background, and we were taught pretty strict conservative manners. And to me, Thanksgiving was about manners. Thankfulness was about being polite. And it is. But when you look into the scripture, Thanksgiving is far more powerful. And in the time we're living in, 2020 was not the year to get what you wanted, but it was the year that made you appreciate everything you had. 2021 is turning out the same. And I'd suggest 2022 is not far from that. And we even read a verse that I think speaks a little bit more profoundly than we realize. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. I don't know how many times as a pastor I've been asked for people to go, well, what's the will of God for my life? You know, I just want to know, God, what's your will for my life? You know, speak to me because I want to know. And we just saw the answer. In fact, that verse which they put up earlier said it. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. And so you're going, okay, yeah, but I was hoping for something a little bit more like profound and specific to my life. You know, I need to decide I'm going to uni. Do I want to do engineering or nursing? I'm not sure what to do. What is the Lord's will? Pick one. Pick either and give thanks. If you're going to be an engineer, just give thanks. Be a thankful engineer. If you're going to be a nurse, be a thankful nurse. In everything, give thanks. Yeah, but which one does the Lord want me to do? Well, which one do you like more? But just be thankful. God would rather a thankful nurse than a whining engineer. But he'd also rather a thankful engineer than a whining nurse. Well, yeah, but you know, I just need some direction. Do I buy or rent in this market? Whatever. And if you buy, give thanks. And if you rent, give thanks. That is the will of God. The will of God is not about which choice you make, as more is it about who you become. Yeah, but surely God has a plan and a path, a specific way. You know, I'm a firm believer in God's voice leading, so don't get me wrong. But I do think sometimes we magnify what we think God is really stressing about, and he's not really as worried about the choices we make as who we become. Yeah, but surely he wants to decide who I want to marry. Like, you know, which guy do I marry? I'm single and I don't know which guy to marry. Pick one. And then give thanks. Depending on who you pick, you may give more or less thanks, but in everything, give thanks. And as pastors, as leaders, and I don't know, there are a lot of pastors here because this is a pastors conference and leaders conference. We're often faced with decisions. I don't know about you, but the last 18 months trying to make decisions and which way do we go and what, it's fraught with weight and burden and the implication and the consequence of the choices you and I make seem to have things that weigh on us. And yet you'd be amazed how unstressed God is about some of the choices we make, because he's the one who causes all things to work together for good. And we want to know which thing. He says, I can work with all things. I just want you to be thankful. I don't want miserable tithers. I want cheerful givers. I want thankful people, because thankfulness is more than manners. It's actually the will of God for who you are to be. And if you're like, well, why does God's will for me just simply mean that I need to be a nice person? You know, I don't know about you, but to be honest, I think the Lord has been dealing with me on this over the last 12 months. And I think thankfulness has gone from becoming manners to a weapon that helps us move forward through these times. In times where things are shaky, foggy, unclear, you're not sure where you're going, you've got to look harder to become more thankful. Now, I don't think it would be a surprise if I asked you tonight, who here would like to be, by nature, by default, inherently a more thankful person than you already are? Who would be that? Yeah, so whoever didn't raise their hand, well, you've hit your lid as far as gratitude. Have a nice life. I want to honestly be the sort of person that always becomes more thankful by nature. And I found a good exercise that will help hone your thankfulness. And here's the challenge. Take a problem, look at whatever you're facing, and despite the fact it fundamentally is a problem, find something in it you can give God thanks for. We live in Perth, which is very isolated, the most isolated capital city in the world. And, you know, that's a problem. You know, prior to COVID, you'd fly 3.5 hours to go anywhere from Perth. It's a problem. But I go, thank you, God, despite the isolation, is also quite protected. Even the virus won't fly this far. You think about anything in your life that bugs you, and if you would hone your eye to find what you could be grateful for. I mean, I hate COVID, but it gave me time with my family that I never would have had. So God, I choose in the middle of what is a problem to say thank you for what you've done. You got a teenager at home who's just whining and wasting the days away, sleeps too long, sits on the couch and does nothing but watch TV. That's a problem. And you go, oh, I've got nothing to be thankful there. Well, look hard enough and you're like, well, God, I'm thankful that it is at least wasting his life on the couch, not on the streets. And I'm sometimes I have to look harder. Lord, the mess my house is in every Sunday night after church, it's a problem, but God, I'm thankful that I've got friends. They weren't helpful, but at least I've got them. These clothes that fit a little too snug is a problem. I need a new wardrobe, but God, I'm thankful I must have something to eat. I'm thankful, God. I find the challenge in my life and I look for something to be thankful. It actually starts to train my natural default to be the sort of person that naturally gives thanks. Man, this is a massive tax bill, but wow, God, thank you. I must have earned income. And you know, the person in church who always sings off key and I always sit in front of them. Oh, God. Well, I thank you. At least my hearing still works. Lord, I'm single. I want to be married. Well, thank God for all the money you still have. You're married. You don't have kids. Thank God for all the sleep you still get. You got so many kids. Thank God for the legacy you now have. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. I remember earlier this year, I took my boys to Adventure World. Do you have Adventure World here? What's the equivalent? Like a theme park sort of. Tasmania is a theme park. Yeah, the whole thing is a theme park. This whole place is a theme. Anyway, so we went there and we're walking up one of the paths to go up for a water ride, and a bird decided to defecate, a pigeon of some description, and it landed right on my shoulder, and it was ironically about the time I was meditating a lot on thankfulness and how do I become a more thankful person. And it actually, I actually caught myself in the middle of it before I just, you know, Christian swore. I just thought, oh God, what am I going to be thankful for? Well, I'm thankful, Lord, for broad shoulders. Thank you, the gym's paying off, Lord. Because any, if it wasn't working so well, it would have missed me. And you know, you got to learn, you've got to learn to say, I will by choice, no matter what the circumstance, God help me to become a thankful person. It might not change where you are, but it will change who you are. And that is why often, even at a Christian funeral, they call it a Thanksgiving service, because we choose to celebrate what has happened instead of crying over what's happened. I'm smiling that we got the privilege to be part of it. There's something about being Thanksgiving that changes the atmosphere of your life. It changes the atmosphere of your home. And I want to say at the start of these 3 days, we're believing for Generate. We're believing for 50 churches. We're believing for more increase. But it starts by becoming a thankful person at the foundational level. Because I want to, I guess, I want you to leave tonight with this one conviction, that thankfulness is far more than manners or being a nice, polite Tasmanian. Thankfulness is, in fact, if you like analogies or metaphors, this may help you. Here's a couple of thoughts. Thankfulness is like an alarm clock. It's an alarm. I've got a picture of an alarm clock, which I don't know if you got that, you can put that up. Go to the first one. Is there one? Yeah, there we go. It awakens your praise and faith. Thankfulness is an alarm clock because it wakes you up. You know, we heard that our beautiful worship leader saying, come on, we just got to smash complacency. And I could hear in her heart this desire for everybody to wake up. And it wasn't so you yelled louder. It was so that, but you know what wakes you up? Not hype or shouting, but thankfulness. If you just decided to become more thankful, it will awaken your praise. Here's the scripture we read. Enter his gates with and his courts with. So the gates are the outer. You don't get to praise until you first walk through Thanksgiving. You can't just jump over the gate. You've got to walk through Thanksgiving, and then praise becomes a lot easier. Yeah, I don't know how many of you as pastors can relate to this. You know, the poor worship team standing up there on a Sunday morning, and everyone's looking there, the seven people that are there going, and they're, come on, who's ready to praise God? And they're like, you praise. You're lucky we even made it this early, you know. And praise is hard, but praise is hard because Thanksgiving is supposed to wake praise up. You know, imagine if everybody before they walked into church, I'm not suggesting you do this, but you can feel free to try it. If it doesn't work, blame Pastor Matt Sharples. Imagine if before you walked into church, you had to give thanks for 2 minutes. Imagine if the usher said, no, sorry, I know you want to come in. Have you given thanks yet? No, just 2 minutes to the side there. Look, we're doing that. Forget vaccine passports. Let's have Thanksgiving passports. You need at least 2 doses before we allow you into the building. And if you went to the side and you just said, okay, what am I thankful for? Oh, God, thank you I didn't have a car accident. Thank you, Lord, I didn't kill my wife this week. All right, amen. All right. You know, you'd be surprised, as flippant as that might sound, as soon as you start a culture of learning how to give thanks, and then you're like, you're actually grateful for something, praise comes alive much quicker. Thanksgiving is an alarm clock that will wake up your praise far more than just a yelling worship leader. And if we could learn to give thanks, praise, if your praise is weak, maybe your thanksgiving is anemic. Because when you're thankful, there's a lot to praise God for. It doesn't just awaken praise, it awakens faith. In Philippians 4:6, we read, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now, that's not God saying, I'm sick of your whining. If you're going to moan to me about all your requests, at least balance it with some thanks, because I'm getting tired of hearing all the negative. I need to hear some positive. He's not fragile. The reason he says that you are to bring with your supplication and prayer thanksgiving is because it's not to please him, but it's to awaken your faith. Because as you bring your requests, I'm praying for healing for my father, or I'm praying for provision in this area, I'm believing for a contract in my job, I'm believing God that the teams would grow in our church. Whatever it is you're believing for, as you lace it with thanksgiving and start to say, God, what can I be thankful for? You know, before I come and give my request, why don't I give him thanks for what he has done? God, I thank you that you healed Joan back then. And when you start to give God thanks, you start to realize if he's done it before, he can do it again. If he did it for her, he can do it for him. And what thanksgiving does is it starts to awaken your own faith. And so this is not about balancing the ledger. This is about actually awakening faith. We know that praise brings breakthrough. We know that faith moves mountains. And if I told you thanksgiving wakes both up, it would change the whole game. You could go to a conference where the theme is praise and learn all about praise and the explosiveness of it. You could go to faith conferences over and over again and talk about how faith can literally shift mountains. Without it, it's impossible to please God. And yet the alarm clock that could trigger, that could awaken your faith and your praise is thanksgiving. Maybe tonight at the start, so that tomorrow begins to fly at a whole nother level. So that tomorrow night, so that Saturday, whatever we're doing, it starts to explode. We start this night by saying, God, we want to be thankful. Thankfulness is an alarm. Here's another thing. It's a compass. It's a compass. Those of you under 30 have no idea what a compass is. It guides you back on track. A compass doesn't give you the directions. It just shows you where north is. You know, we read, in everything, give thanks. It didn't say for everything. You don't thank God for sickness. He didn't come from him. You don't thank God for hardship. You don't thank God for that stuff, but in that stuff, in the middle of it, give him thanks. Well, okay, if I'm not giving him thanks for the issue, the sickness, the problem, the challenge, but in it I'm giving him thanks, what exactly am I thanking him for? Because I'm in negative circumstance. I'm not thanking him for where I'm at. I'm thanking him for who he is. See, if I've got nothing to be thankful for in a COVID setup, if I've got nothing to be thankful because my church is shrinking, if I've got nothing to be thankful because my business is dying, if I've got nothing to be thankful because the prayers that I've prayed don't seem to be answered, how do I give thanks? How do I give thanks if I don't thank him for the negative? I'm supposed to, in the midst of what I'm waiting and believing for, I give him thanks. In everything, give thanks, which means I've got to elevate my thanksgiving beyond the circumstance and pitch it towards who he is. His very nature, his very character, it's who God is. In everything, give God thanks. It said, for the Lord is good. Not because it feels good, not because this turned out good, but the Lord is good. It's his very nature. And what a compass does is when you're lost, it reorients you back on track. And what thanksgiving does, it's like a compass that when you feel lost in your circumstance, lost in your jail cell, lost in your prison, it can actually start to reorient you no matter where you're at. You're depressed, you're tired, you're feeling shame, you're feeling condemned. You say, God, I just want to thank you that you died on the cross for me. I thank you that you're the savior of my soul. I thank you that you're the provider of all that I need. God, I thank you that you're the author and the finisher of my faith. You start to give God thanks for who he is, and like a compass, it'll start to walk you out of your maze and it'll lead you back to true north. True north is not where you're at, it's who he is. No matter what you're going through, he is worthy of thanks, and that is a sign of maturity. You know, my two boys are 12 and 9. They're the sort of, didn't like any other kid. When they were younger, every time I came back, they just wanted presents. And we taught them manners. Say thank you when you get a present. But now they're growing up a little on Father's Day, birthdays, even occasionally on not a celebration. They'll come up and say, Dad, just thank you. I'll go, for what? Thank you for being a great dad. I've done a good job raising them. No, I think to myself, wow, I didn't give them anything and they said thank you. In fact, on Father's Day or birthday, they'll say, thank you, Dad, for being such a generous dad. And yet, I didn't buy them a present in that moment. In fact, they bought me something with my money, but they're saying thank you because a sign of maturity is your thankfulness is now acknowledging character and nature, not just outcome. And we're still baby Christians if the only time we can be thankful is when we receive something. We can start to become thankful for who he is. And that means even in the absence of the outcome, you can still thank him for his nature. What sort of maturity does it take that when you're believing for healing, you can't thank him for the healing because you don't have it. You can thank him that he's the healer. You have a need in your life. You're trying to break an addiction, and you can't thank him for the breakthrough because you feel like it hasn't come, but you can thank him that he's the deliverer. Yeah. There's provision that you're believing for, and you haven't had it land in your lap, but you can start to thank God that he's the provider. And like a compass, it starts to turn you out of your lost maze and starts to reorient you back, because we could so easily get lost. We could drown in all that's happening, but thank God he's given us thankfulness as literally not just an alarm clock to awaken your faith and your praise, but a compass to reorient you and find you back. That's why Paul and Silas in a prison cell could start to sing hymns of thanksgiving to God. They're not thanking him for jail. They're not thanking him for the chains. They're not thanking him for confinement. They're not thanking him for quarantine, but they're thanking God for who he is. And like a compass, it starts to reorient the atmosphere of an entire prison cell, and the miracle happens, because thanksgiving is far more than manners. It's a weapon. It's an alarm. It's a compass. Number three, it's an anchor. I don't know much about sailing, but I know this much about anchors, that an anchor is only as effective as its weight. If you have a toy anchor, it's not going to hold very much. But the stronger the anchor, the stronger the storm it will hold you in. It was so difficult this year, last year, and we're blessed. We live in Perth, but so many of our people in a lot of the other countries that we're involved with are in shocking, horrific, like just downright horrible circumstances. And I reckon every second message I heard online last year was about storms. And rightly so, because the whole thing felt like a storm. But here's the thing you need in a storm. You need an anchor that will hold you in the middle of a storm. And what thanksgiving does is it's like an anchor. And because an anchor is only as effective as its weight, I wonder if we could give our thanksgiving weight. What do you mean, give your thanksgiving weight? You know, here's what we tend to do, human nature. We tend to be generic in our thanks and specific in our complaints. Oh, thanks God for everything. And by the way, I'm not really impressed with my mother-in-law. And Lord, what she did, da, 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 da. And we can list with absolute accuracy the things we're whinging about. But thanksgiving, we'd be generic. How do you give thanksgiving weight? Be specific in your thanks. There's an old hymn. It goes like this. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you. But it shouldn't. But the reason it surprises us is because we're generic in our thanks. The last line is, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Imagine what it would be like if, as pastors, as leaders, as people in our own spheres of influence, we decided to start the day with thanksgiving. We started services with thanksgiving. You know, once this became real, I told all our worship team, I told our guys, I said, even our prayer meetings, let's start with thanksgiving. Let's start by thanking God for who he is. Let's just start, because let it awaken praise. Let it awaken faith. Let it guide the team back on track, and let it actually hold us. Let us actually become specific in our thanks, because it's truly an anchor. And as the worship team comes, number four, and this is the one I might be the most excited about, and this is why I believe we needed to lay this as a foundation for the next few days. It's also a key. It's a key. Now, you might be here sitting tonight going, man, an alarm, a compass, an anchor. What if I'm not asleep, lost, or drowning? Like, you Christians seem to always be asleep, lost, or drowning. So fair enough, you need alarm, compass, and anchors, But what a key does is a key gives you access. And thanksgiving, if you hear nothing else I've said today, hear this. Thanksgiving is actually access to more. And what I mean by that is this. In the kingdom, the key to multiplication and increase is faithfulness. When you're faithful with the little, God entrusts you with more. Honestly, our story at Kingdom City is no more spectacular than that. And John and Katie will tell you that. When we started 15 years ago, I bought a one-way ticket, went to an Islamic country without a visa to start a church. All the signs are stupid, except I knew God had told me to do it. Stayed with my family, and we started in Starbucks because it had free Wi-Fi. That was the simple logic. Me, I was single, so I didn't have to ask for permission. And I met another guy who's now actually our pastor in Dubai. And we started, invited a few friends. I invited some people over, and literally, it's a whole story of how 16 years, we just tried to stay faithful with what was in front of us, and it kept getting added. After 2.5 years, this church in KL grew to about a couple of hundred people, which is just staggering, way beyond what I thought was going to happen. And then a guy in Perth rings and says, can you take on our church here? It's not doing well, but can you take... And we took it on, and we're like, oh. And we took it on, and we just were faithful with it, and it continued to multiply and continue to grow. And then next thing you know, it started another city, started another location. And honestly, it's as staggering to me as it is to you in terms of how our story has evolved. And I'm here to tell you that it was nothing more than being faithful with what you've been given. When you're faithful with a little, God will add more. But a huge part of faithfulness is thankfulness. And this is something you might not have ever joined the dots on. You know, if you have kids and you give them a present, the one who says thank you, there's a desire in you as a parent to want to reward them even more. The one who's like entitled, the one who says about time, you owed it to me. I thought you were God, about time. There's something about thankfulness that actually unlocks the potential for more. You might not be drowning, you might not be asleep, you might not be lost, but I want to tell you, if there's something in your heart going, I've got to grow, I want to see increase, I want to see more in my life. It might be less dramatic than hands on your head and needing some big special person to do anything on you. It starts by saying, God, I'm thankful for what you've given me. You might have heard the story of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Hardly enough to feed a multitude. And yet, in the hands of Jesus, he blessed it. The Bible says he gave thanks. When you begin to give God thanks for the little that he's placed in your hand, all of a sudden it begins to multiply. There's something about thankfulness that has far more multiplying effect than maybe you've ever realized. You think it's manners. I thought it was just being polite, but it's an alarm clock that wakes you up. It's a compass that redirects you. It's an anchor that holds you, but it's actually a key that multiplies you for more. We want 50 churches. Let's start saying, God, thank you for the 18 we already have. Thank you, Lord, for the hundreds of people. Thank you for the people in the room, not the ones that are not in the room. And it starts to change the atmosphere. It starts to change the atmosphere. And God says, there's someone who's grateful. Stewardship is faithfulness. And if faithfulness is being thankful, that is the start of me actually saying to the Lord, God, I'm not going to spend the rest of this year whining about what's not right, but I'm going to start thanking you for what is right. I'm going to start thanking you for what I do have, not what I don't have. And you know, when you think about it, all 4 items, and I think that's the picture we had before, all 4, an alarm clock, a key, a compass, and an anchor. I thought about it, I thought, what do they all have in common? And then I got real deep. The metallic nature of the properties of the... No, that's not... They're round. No, that's not... And then I realized what the key is with all 4. If I dumped all 4 on the stage here, here's what all 4 have in common. Ready? This is so deep that I could be a lecturer at AC. I think this is my audition. You have to use them. Flew all the way from Perth to tell us that. You have to use them. The alarm clock is no good if you don't use it. The compass is no good if you don't use it. The anchor is no good if it's in the boat. And the key is no good if it stays in your pocket. You have to use it. See, Thanksgiving is a bit like that. It's like, gee, really? Pastor's conference? You're telling us about being thankful? Some of us have put this to such an... Because maybe you reduced it to just being polite, manners, tokenism, and yet it is far more significant than maybe you've ever thought possible. And 2020 and 2021 has proved that if ever God wanted to sharpen the Thanksgiving in his church, it was in this season. And instead of whinging and protesting and fighting and arguing, why don't we say, God, I'm so grateful. I'm not crying that it's over. I'm smiling that it happened. I'm not whinging that it's not here. I'm thankful that I have you. I'm thankful, God, that even death has lost its sting. I'm thankful, Lord, that the grave has been denied. I'm thankful, Lord, that because I have you, I have peace. Lord, I have peace in every storm. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guards my heart and mind when I start it with thanksgiving. And no storm can sink me because I have the anchor of thanksgiving to hold me. 10 lepers came to Jesus, and he healed them all. they went on their way, and only one turned around, the Samaritan, the foreigner, came back, inconvenienced his own schedule and his agenda, and said, thank you. And Jesus said, were there not another 9 also? Why is it the foreigner? Why is it this one person has come back to say thank you? The other 9 were probably celebrating, probably grateful, but one literally inconvenienced. It took time, it took energy, it took effort. He gave thanksgiving weight. And Jesus said to the foreigner, go, your faith has made you whole. I don't know what exactly is going to happen in the next 2 days, but I do know that the start of growing from 18 to 50, or the start of whatever you're believing for, does not start with the complaints of what's not yet here, but the thankfulness for what we already do have. Why don't we stand to our feet right now? And this is of no use unless we put it into practice. I'm conscious. You know, I thought about this. What if we renamed Tasmania to Thanksmania? A mania of thanks. Thanksmania. What do you reckon, Andy? Yeah, he said yes. It's done. It's official. Thanksmania. Imagine if this was defined by our thanksgiving. Imagine if we were defined by our gratitude. Imagine if some of us are going to have to search a little deep, because the default mechanism, maybe you have to start with the exercise I started earlier. How do I find a positive? But you're going to have to start to say, God, I want to firstly say sorry if I've whinged and I've moaned and I've just thrown requests in your direction. God is not offended. God is not sensitive. He's not fragile. But he said, son, daughter, I gave you a key. I gave you an anchor. I gave you a compass. I gave you a weapon. I gave you an alarm clock. I gave you a tool. I gave you something that was going to awaken you, change you, shift you, and start you on a journey. It will smash complacency. It will awaken your praise. It will do something for your faith that nothing else can do. And looking for external things to awaken you will never have the same impact as starting by saying, God, I'm so grateful. And so I wonder if right now, it might start like a whisper because it's awkward, but it'll take maybe a minute or two, but it'll start to gain momentum as people start to truly give thanks. But why don't you right now, under your breath, you can feel conscious or you can feel just irrelevant to the people around you, and start to say, God, I'm thankful for. Can you begin just to give God thanks? I know you want the worship team to lead you, and they will, but can you right now begin to say, thank you, God, for what you have given me. Thank you for the spouse I have rather than the one I thought I wanted. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for what you've done in my kids' lives. I know they have needs, but I thank you. Start to say, God, I want to become a thankful person, and let it start to awaken your faith. Let it start to awaken your praise. You know, if pastors and leaders, we could start to be thankful. God says there's an army, there's a state, there's a city, there's a company that I can pour more into. It's the access for more. As we say, thank you for the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. As we say thank you, as we say thank you, Lord, for what you have done. Thank you for protecting me, for preserving us in this season. Thank you, Lord, that even in where there's been loss, I thank you in eternity, there's peace because I know that they're with you. And start to give him thanks. Start to give him thanks. Start to articulate, Lord, that injury could have been a lot worse, but God, you saved me from that. God, where that went south, it didn't go so far south. God, I thank you. You kept me in that storm. God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. And you know, it'll take a moment, but as we begin to give God thanks, as we begin to give God thanks, as we begin to give God thanks, Father, even in my mistakes, you didn't let me drown. Even when I went off course, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Lord, I thank you, God, that even in the presence of my enemies, Lord, you prepared a table before me. God, I'm so thankful, God, that even in the valley of the shadow of death, the evil didn't touch me because you were with me. God, I'm so thankful that you're my shepherd. God, I'm so thankful that you have protected every step of the way. God, I'm so thankful that even in my mistakes, the shut door wasn't rejection, it was protection. God, what I applied for and I didn't get, God, I'm thankful that you're in charge and you know the way. Lord, I'm thankful that you're the author and the finisher of my faith. God, even though I turned my heart against you, Lord, you still preserved me and you protected me. God, I'm thankful that even my addiction, it didn't wreck me, Lord. You somehow protected me, God. I thank you. Come on, that's what thankfulness does. And then it starts to awaken praise. And then you start to say, God, I thank you. Lord, I have things I'm believing for, things I want to see done. But God, let tonight be a night of thankfulness. Tomorrow we can press in for more. Tomorrow we can dare to dream for more. Tomorrow we can cry out for impartation. But let's start generate. Let's generate thanksgiving. Let's generate gratitude. Let's generate a spirit of thankfulness. Come on, that's it. That's it. Come on, in your own voice. What's the atmosphere begin to shift around you right now? Lord, we're thankful. We're thankful. And I know it takes a little while, but let me tell you something. The scripture does not say, it says to give thanks. It doesn't say to think thanks. Yeah, I'm thankful. It's really, you're thankful? Yeah, it's deep. I have a deep thanks. It didn't say think thanks. It said give thanks. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Well, my thanksgiving is so, it's just between me and the Lord. Yeah, I know. He still asked you to say it. He still asked you to express it. He still asked you to declare it. And if you're like, well, I haven't thought of all the reasons, maybe like the hymn, I need to go home and do some homework. And tonight, before I come back for session two tomorrow, I've got to make a list. And I want to go to sleep so thankful for everything the Lord has done. And you know, may the list of what I'm grateful for dwarf the list of what I'm complaining about. And you know what? I'm going to wake up and I'm going to say, God, I thank you for this. Oh, God, I'm really grateful for what you've done. God, I'm grateful for providing for me, for protecting me. And I'm going to give God thanks. And before I walk in tomorrow, I'm going to start to declare my thanks. I'm going to start to shout my thanks. I'm going to start to express my thanks. I'm going to look people in the eye, the people I love, and say, thank you for being with me. Thank you for standing with me. Thank you for not leaving me when others could have. And so, you know what? You're amazing. Why don't we just begin to just worship? In fact, why don't you just begin to prophesy any thanksgiving you've got on your heart? You've got something on your heart. Just begin to say thank you. Come on, singers. Let's begin to express thanks. Come on, let's lead this in a space of thanksgiving. Sing a song of thanks. Song of thanksgiving unto the Lord. That's it. That's it. That's it, that's it, that's it. Thank you, Lord. He took you from the miry clay and set your feet upon a rock. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks tonight. Come on, pastors. Come on, leaders. Let's lead the way. Come on, thanks mania. Let's have thanks mania right now. We say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you in all things. In all things, in all things.
We've unlocked with the key of thankfulness. We're going to sing Every Victory Again. And the Holy Spirit, oh, He's here. I mean, He's inside us, so He's always here. But He is ready to break down some walls. And now that we've unlocked with the key of thankfulness and we've unlocked our praise and our faith, let's begin to let our faith rise. Let joy rise. Let hope arise. And And let's declare that every victory is in the name of our Jesus.
But every believer, every pastor, every leader, thank you, Jesus. Come on, that's it. With grateful hearts, with thankful hearts. For who He is, for who He is. That's it. Sing it again. Why don't we just lift our hands towards heaven right now, all across this auditorium. Father, as like lightning rods, God, we make our hands, as it were, just an external sign of an internal commitment, Lord, that we would attract gratitude, we would attract thankfulness, Father God, in our homes, in our conversations, in our interactions, God, in all things we choose to give you thanks, Father. We enter your gates with thanksgiving, Father. Even as a company of pastors and leaders, God, I thank you that this would be a season of leading the army of the Lord with thankfulness, with joy, Lord, with gratitude, with childlike faith. We thank you, God, that there are people who are right now believing for more. They're believing for increase. They're believing for things to shift, things to change, things to awaken. Lord, they really want something to generate. Lord, I thank you exceedingly abundantly and above and beyond all we can ask, think, or imagine. You are ready to do. But God, we start by saying thank you. We start by saying thank you for where you brought us from. Thank you for where you brought us from. Thank you that we've come this far. Thank you, Lord, that what we have might not feed a multitude, but Lord, 5 loaves and 2 fish. We say thank you. Bless it, break it, change it, use it, do whatever you want with it. Lord, that our lives would forever be grateful. And one of the ultimate signs, one of the ways we can express our thanks, whether it's applauding, whether it's shouting, whether it's cheering, you know, I don't know who here follows the footy, but I went to the prelim final between the Melbourne Demons, which you really shouldn't talk about that, demons in church, with Jono. He's a demon fan. He's the only pastor who loves demons. But you know, the energy and the passion, when there was something, they didn't get all specific and cute. They just shouted. There was just this mad roar of appreciation. And in fact, it was so contagious that a neutral like me began to say, wow, I got caught up in it. I started wearing demons' clothes, all figurative, you know, whatever. And I got into it. And I, in fact, we're going to the grand final in 2 weeks. Perth has got the grand final. You should come across, come join us, and we'll go. And you know, you can always feel the anticipation. People don't know the stats. They don't know the details. They don't know the acute figures. But when the ball goes through the sticks, they cheer like their marriage just improved. They cheer like their kid just graduated. They cheer like some in-law got healed. They cheer like something. It's just this iconic roar that goes way beyond. And they do that for a piece of leather that flows through a couple of sticks on the ground. I don't know that you and I as pastors and leaders, I believe what needs to wake up is our gratitude for who God is, for what he's done. So I want us, here's what we want to do. Here's what we want to do. See, I look at some people, you know, when they say shout unto God, they go, I'm not sort of shout. Give God praise. It's like the toy anchors. If you're going to give thanks, give it weight. A shout comes from in here. Shout like you're yelling at your whatever, animal, pet. But when you give God thanks, make it a real thanksgiving. And what it'll shatter is the fear of man, the paranoia of people. And if as pastors and leaders, we lead the way with thanksgiving, our people will run behind us. If we break the gates through thanksgiving, the praise will start to erupt. And at the start of this conference, I want us at the count of three in a moment, and the worship team are going to help us. They're going to go wild at the count of three. We're going to give God a praise that, let me put it to you this way. Let the extent of your shout be the value of your thanks. Let the extent of your expression symbolize the gratitude of your thanksgiving. And so it doesn't matter whether you're young or old, whether you're male or female, whether you've got a high-pitched voice or a low-pitched voice. The Bible says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. It doesn't say extroverts, shout unto God. Introverts, be still and know that he is God. It doesn't say that. It doesn't give you personality exclusions. But the extrovert needs to learn how to be still and know. And the introvert needs to learn to shout unto God with a voice of triumph. And so this is not a be still and know moment. This is a shout unto God moment. So I want you to let your voice reflect the hell he brought you through. The fact he saved your soul from addiction and problem and pain. The fact he could have called anybody. He called you to do what you're doing. He could have picked anyone else, but he picked you. And sometimes we can get cute with our thanks later. But right now, I want us to close tonight with a shout of thanksgiving that just tells the Lord we're grateful for who he is. Are you ready, pastors? Now let's try this side because they're dead. Are you ready, pastors? I'll give the Alpha Crucis side one more shot. Are you ready, pastors? Are you ready, ACC kids? So look, come on, let's give God thanks because of who he is. Have in your mind your God. Have in your mind your eternity. Have in your mind your future. Have in your mind what he's done for you. And the count of three, let's give God praise. One, let's give God thanks for who he is. Two, let's give God the praise he's worthy of. Three, give God praise right now. 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 Come on, let the thanks mania break out in this place. Can we give God praise right now? We give God praise right now. We give God praise right now. We give God praise right now.